Support for KPLU comes from the Shack Art Center, featuring a glass pumpkin patch and glassblowing demonstrations during Shacktoberfest, September 24th through 27th at the Shack Art Center in Everett. More information at shack.org.
Guitarist Lee Ritenour and pianist Dave Grusin have enviable careers leading their own bands, but something special happens when they get together. In 1985, they won a Grammy for their Brazilian-flavored album Harlequin, and recently they've released a pair of albums in more classical vein with string orchestra. Mr. Grusin appears on most of the album that Lee Ritenour has just released called A Twist of Rit. Please help me welcome Lee Ritenour and Dave Grusin.
Thank you.
Lee Ritenour at the guitar, Dave Grusin on piano. Great to have you guys here. I would love to hear about when you first met. Lee, I think you were still a teenager. Dave, do you remember meeting up with Lee Ritenour for the first time?
I don't remember much anymore. It's a few years ago. Yeah, I do remember that, actually. Lee was 19 years old. We met at a party, I think, in the Valley in Los Angeles at the home of Sergio Mendez. Mm-hmm. And he happened to have another guest there. Antonio Carlos Jobim was there that night. So it was a memorable evening. And Lee was actually playing guitar at some point with Sergio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had been invited by my... I had met a great guitarist who passed recently, Oscar Castroneves,
right.
And he worked with Sergio Mendes that time for many years. And then Sergio invited me to play on a couple of the records, and Sergio was producing another artist that I was playing with, and so I got to know the family, so to speak. And I grew up in L.A., and Dave was already a hero to me because he was also working with a great, you know, he was working with everybody in those days, but he was working with a great jazz guitarist, Howard Roberts, and I would go to, my father would take me to this jazz club in the Valley called Dante's at the time, and we would hear Howard, and Dave would be playing there sometimes. And so I knew about Dave, and then we got to meet at this party, and then he started playing with Harvey Mason, the drummer from 4Play, and I and Ernie Watts, and there was a whole gang of guys, and we started playing together at the Baked Potato, which
right.
is still there in L.A. And then Dave started hiring me on his film scores, and really got my studio career off the ground.
I would love to hear more about that studio scene in L.A. What was that lifestyle like when you're playing in the studios? A little bit about that, Dave.
Lee can tell you more about that than I can. I wasn't kind of a member of the wrecking crew that did all the dates, all the pop dates and so forth. Lee did a lot of those. He was the right age for that sort of thing. I was mostly working on film scores, mostly stuck in a room somewhere trying to write and getting out once in a while, and my studio experience at that point was mostly for film recording.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was orchestral, and it was a kind of a tough way to live, but you got used to the kind of scary part of it, the deadline aspect of it, and then you could enjoy the. It was always so much fun to get together with the players. You know, the first time I was allowed out of my room, it was to record with all my friends. So,
yeah.
So that was a great experience for me.
How about it, Lee? Did you find yourself in a situation where you're making three or four records a day?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I did get a young start, and I think I was in a band for a second that was connected with... John Phillips and the Mamas and the Papas, and I got to record with them when I was 16. But that wasn't really that was officially kind of maybe the start of my studio days. But when I met Dave at 19, things kind of took off because he was definitely golden, has been his whole career. But at that time, he was doing so many films and so many television scores. And even the television scores had 30-piece bands. You know, they had string sections, horns, rhythm, two guitar players, two keyboard players. And then, of course, the orchestra days for the films were sometimes upwards of 100. And then I got, you know, everybody said, well, if Dave Grusin's using this kid, he must be pretty good. And so it just kind of took off. And I was, by the time I was 21 or 2, three, four sessions a day. And, you know, and Dave is being modest because he'd work all on Quincy's records. And we had a little mafia of a... organization. Then there was a bunch of us that would work on the jazz records together. I'd go up to with Patrice Rushen and Harvey Mason up to Oakland and record with Orrin Keepnews on the mm-hmm. Fantasy records, and got to, you know, record with Dizzy Gillespie and Sonny Rollins and Bobby Hutcherson and all these great people. And then in L.A. I would do some of the rock dates. I got to work with Pink Floyd and Steely Dan and Michael Jackson when he was 12, and you know,
yes.
You know, so. It was a great period, and there was no machines or computers then, so
right.
everything involved wonderful, the top of the crop of the cream of musicians, and just incredible rhythm section players from New York and L.A. and Nashville and San Francisco and sometimes from overseas, from Europe, from London. And we got to play with all these incredible players. So it was a great time.
Lots and lots of magnetic tape.
Yeah. And at the same time, every Tuesday night, we were at the Baked Potato staying up all night playing jazz, you know. And then we'd sometimes get up for an 8 o'clock in the morning movie session. So it was, you know, but you can do that when you're in your early 20s.
We're live in the studios with Lee Ritenour and Dave Grusin. What have you got for us next?
Dave, go ahead and introduce this.
Well, this is a, you mentioned the excuse me, the kind of classical album that we did. We did a couple of those. I hesitate to call them real classical albums. They were sort of classical crossover things, but they were all the material was based on original classical music. And we did some Bach. We did some Handel at one time with Rene Fleming. We did some a lot of that kind of stuff, and a lot of early guitar music, Spanish guitar music that we had expanded and rearranged and so forth. The thing we're going to play now was a favorite of ours for years and years before we ever made this album, and we mentioned Tone Jobim, Antonio Carlos Jobim. It was one of my favorite tunes that he ever wrote. It was called Amparo, or Oh Yeah, Maria is the other name of it. And there was a wonderful lyric and a wonderful, a lot of really nice recordings. At least Regina made a fantastic recording of this with Tom. But anyway, we decided this thing had enough undercarriage that was classically based that it would fit into this format of classical music. So, yeah, it's not the girl from Ipanema, but it's the other side of Tone Jobim, and he was a serious composer. So this is called Amparo.
Dave Grusin and Lee Ritenour live on KPLU. Thank you. The Grit Now at the guitar, Dave Grusin on the piano. And before we get to their last song, I wanted to ask each. Boy, it's been since the 70s that you met. Big Grammy-winning hit album, Harlequin, in the 80s. Just recently, you've made a couple of those classical-flavored albums and the brand-new one, A Twist of Writ. There's a lot of Dave Grusin on there. You guys can't get enough of each other. I would like to ask what you like about playing with Dave Grusin, Lee.
Well, first of all, he's my best friend, so that goes a long way. And then I just respect the hell out of him. And, you know, the guitar and piano are not so easy instruments to always play together with one another because they both compete a little bit with each other. So Dave and I have just been natural accompanists, and I think we think a lot about harmony, and I think I got more from him than he did from me, but but at any rate, we think a lot about music that's similar, and we've always been open to lots of different kinds of music. You know, he's had this incredible varied career, and so have I. And even on the new Twist of Writ album, there's new material, like the first song I played today for you guys, Pearl, that's my tune. And but then we also went back and captured tunes from these four decades, because Dave and I started recording on my records in 1975. Of course, I was 12, but he was on that very first album, First Chorus, and even on the new album, we flipped and twisted some of those tunes even from the first album, and so it was very fun. And when we were recording the new record, he was playing a piano, of course, but he was playing Fender Rhodes, he was playing B3 organ, he was playing clavinet, Wurlitzer, synthesizer, Mini Moog, and these are the instruments that he made a career out of playing for his own movies and records and all the GRP albums that he produced. And so I can't say enough. I took up too much room.
Dave, what do you enjoy so much about playing with Lee?
Okay, here's something that I'm in the process of putting together. I'm writing a little dissertation about how do you tell when it's time to hang it up, you know?
Oh, man.
And the truth is, I used to be so busy with film scores or TV scores writing, and as years go by, I became that ball player that, you know, it's time to retire. They don't call you anymore as much. So I hadn't thought about this consciously, but recently I thought I'm going to sit down and write something about this, because the truth is, I have substituted all that with being able to go out with this cat and these bands, and that's become my musical life, you know. And so it means an awful lot. I mean, here's a guy who spends a lot of his time with music, but also putting his career together. I ain't going to do that at my age, you know. So I've just kind of latched my wagon to Lee's career. So when I'm not the only piano player he uses either, but when I do get to go out and play, I'm not going to ever stop doing music, and this has taken over that part of my career. So yeah. I'm very grateful.
Now, of all the records you've done together, all the playing you've done together, have you written much together? Got a couple of terrific composers here.
You asked that question before we were on the air, and maybe I'm forgetting something, but, you know, we've played together so much, we've arranged together, and it feels like we've composed together when we've put these projects together, but maybe specifically there really hasn't been much.
I don't think there's one
co-written
copyright
tune
that has both of our names on in terms of creating it.
Yeah.
But we've beat each other up about editing and changing things and so forth on both ways.
Yeah.
So
I think it feels like we're always composing together. Yeah. That's why we probably don't really need to have something official.
You know? quick last question. Dave is one of the co-founders of GRP Records, and I was just seeing that Lee Ritenour, a lot of your old back catalog is going to get reissued on vinyl soon. I would love to get your impression of the music business today and the resurgence of vinyl and what's happening with that. Dave?
You don't want to hear me talk about the music business today. It'll be counterproductive, you know, to what we're trying to do here. The vinyl resurgence is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't quite get it, to be honest with you. unless you enjoy the sound of a needle scraping on a piece of groove on a piece of vinyl. You know, I know there are amazing machines that make it sound awful good, and people get used to the fidelity of that. It has nothing to do with what the sound is. It's just that thing rubbing on in the groove. And if you love it, you're in business, because they are gonna start reissuing a lot of old things on vinyl.
Lee, what do you think?
Well, you know, Dave and I grew up through all these machinations of the formats changing. You know, we were dealing with the very first two-track digital recordings, and I remember us being in New York together, because we were used to vinyl, we were used to tape, and that we were used to a lot of hiss. So there was a lot of hiss on the tape, and especially that was pre what they call Dolby, and Dolby later took away some of that hiss. But the analog sound, we loved it, you know, and it had this incredible depth, and the vinyl has incredible depth. And I think that's one of the things. When you do hear a vinyl record and you sit in, if you're lucky enough to have a good sound system playing it, you really do, it feels like you're more part of a performance, you know, when you're hearing that record.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the attractive part for the audiophile things. And then I think for the younger generation, I think it's also fashion, and it's very cool, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But I remember us being in New York doing this first two-track digital recording for Dave's, was it Mountain Dance, or was that the recording, I think?
May have been, yeah.
And we went into the room, and Larry Rosen, Dave's partner, played back the sound, and there was no hiss, and we were all like, wow. Well, you just hear the instrument. You don't hear anything around it. But then, of course, there was no top end. It was like, oh, but we didn't care. And we thought it was cool. And it was cool back then. And we had to go master this first record. I remember we went to Salt Lake City and had to go into this basement with these guys with white trench coats on. And they, like, transferred it to some magical thing, and we didn't know how they did it. And it was all very cool, but I'm very happy to see the vinyl come back in a big way. And a lot of the rock bands and hip hop and pop groups are putting out their records on vinyl, and the jazz guys are doing it too. And I'm happy to say that these five GRP records, Westbound and Festival and Color Writ and Portrait and Earth Runner, are going to be out at the end of the year in a nice box vinyl set. So it's kind of a nice compliment and a compliment to the Twister Writ album.
Right. Everybody go get a copy of Twist of Writ. It's brand new, and it's out now. It's got a lot of Dave Grusin on it, and we've got time for one more song, Lee Ritenour and Dave Grusin. What have you got for us to finish?
All right. This is also kind of a remake, and this is called Waltz for Carmen, written for my wife, and it is on the Twist of Writ, and I did. I have a international guitar and piano and bass and drums international competition that is every other year, called Lee Ritenour's Six String Theory, and the winner of last year's competition is playing guitar on this track on the album with me, Tony Pustai from Hungary, a fantastic guitarist. And but Dave and I are going to do that, and Dave's going to play the second guitar part.